Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement: to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring Jews to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio and follow me at journeyofasapphire.com. My special guest today is Miss Natasha Rosewood. A long time ago, in a faraway land in England, Natasha worked as a flight attendant, during which time her life also took off into a metaphysical world of palmistry and other divine knowledge. But it was when she moved to Canada in 1983, she evolved from palmist to intuitive spiritual healer, and then past life regressionist, ghostbuster, quantum healer, wow, spiritual healer. And then she moved forward, became an author, screenwriter, as well as radio and TV host. In her dedicated healing practice of many years, she has empowered thousands of people to remember who they really are and to find joy. At last, I want to say thank you so much, Natasha, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pamela, for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Yes, ma'am. You are a very interesting woman. I'm like, oh my God, we have so much to discuss. I have so many questions, and I would try not to be all over the place, but you are a woman with many, many, many hats, and you do a lot of great things. So much as I can, I would like to cover a few things and have you to educate me as well.
Oh,
how's the weather over there, by the way?
Actually, where I live in Canada, it's extremely hot today. And we live in wine country. So, the wineries are always grateful for the heat. But you know what comes with that is forest fires as well sometimes. So it's kind of a positive negative situation sometimes. But it's beautiful and we love it.
Yeah, I'm so ready for summer here in California. Our weather's been a little bipolar. So we've been having like a little sun and then it's real windy and then you don't know if it's going to rain and then it will sprinkle. And we're not used to that. Normally in May, we start our summer. But now people better realize that the weather is changing and we don't know really what to expect. However, Mother Nature feels, that's what's going to be the weather. That's how I see it. So I ask her when I get up and start my day, so what should I wear? Can you please let me know?
I know, that's the challenge, isn't it? Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, getting back to you, I understand you began as a palmist and then evolved into past life psychic, spirit medium, past life regressionist, ghostbuster, and now quantum healer. So interesting. How did that happen and what drives you?
So what drives me, Pamela, and this is the short story to my first book, I think I'm psychic and you can be too. People ask me why I wrote that book. And the motivation was, if my mother hadn't been psycho, I wouldn't be psychic. And this was sad but true. She was very mentally and emotionally damaged and became a real challenge to me. And I tried to help her, at the age of 16, 17, but felt very powerless to do so. And it kind of encouraged me to ask the questions, why does this happen to this person, not to that person? What is the psychology behind this? Is there order in the chaos of the universe? So I explored all kinds of different psychological kind of patterns, as well as metaphysical. So I looked at astrology, numerology, the I Ching, and then palmistry. And it was palmistry that grabbed me, even though it's extremely complex and it takes years and years to really master the lines. But what happened was I started reading palms and images started coming through, or pictures or words. And I'd say to somebody, oh, you're going to get a brand new white car in the next 2 weeks. And they said, how do you know that from the lines? I said, I have no clue. So then I started to study how I could see, how I could foretell. And I went to a lot of psychics, not necessarily for my own readings, but to study them and see how they worked. And so I just became fascinated with energy and how energy impacts everything, because we're all everything and everybody is made of energy. And just studying that. And I think when we all understand how energy works, we can really become masters of our own lives.
Now, tell me about the quantum healer. I know you have spoke a little bit about it now, but give me a little bit more clarity because
Sure.
I heard of quantum healer, but I really am not educated about that. And that's a very interesting subject in the individual itself.
It really is, Pamela, because it was actually during COVID. I've been doing past life regressions for years, and if you understand, I'm guided by my guides and the person's guide, so I'm channeling how I do this. And I've always had great success with, I want to say, instant healing in past life regressions. And I'm thinking about this during COVID, and I'm thinking, wow, if I can heal somebody's trauma from 500 years ago, why can't I heal it in this lifetime? Duh.
Right.
So
Okay.
I started adapting the same kind of technique, if you like, with people. So that they could, instead of going for counseling for 3 years, maybe not getting anywhere, is that let's just get to the root of the trauma and the core belief that's setting this dynamic up in the psyche of the person and causing them all this continued grief. So they had this thing happen once, or somebody said something to them once, and it just completely devastated them. So if we can go back and reframe that. So I had to do this with what my mother did and said to me, and I didn't want to be a victim anymore. So I kind of turned it on its end and made it a positive and said, "Well, what she said to me wasn't true. That was just her anger being projected and her illness being projected. And how can I turn this into a win? How can I make it so my past wasn't bad, but actually it was just educational?" And it served me. It gave me a gift. And it really did. Without my mother and the experience of my mother, I would not have been able to help all these thousands of people that I have been able to help over the years, or write the books. It's encouraged me and inspired me to go deep into my psyche, but also everybody else's. So when somebody comes to me for quantum healing, there's a kind of a 3-hour process. And the first hour, I do an interview, and we start with, when you were a baby, what's your family setup? What were the dynamics in your family? What are the good things you remember? What are the traumatic things you remember? What are your beliefs? And using my intuition, I can intuit where that person got emotionally stuck in their lives, and they're still repeating the same old loop. And quantum healing is about breaking that loop, like taking the needle off the record player that's going round and round and round and
You're right.
producing the same old sound, right? Let's take it off And let's kind of stop there, reframe that, and then rewrite the song, and then put the needle back on and have a beautiful present and future moving forward. And it can be instant. Can be
And that
instant.
also helps someone when they go through trauma and adversity when they're older, from abuse and things of that nature, and you get stuck because that means that, like with relationships and, meeting people, you're kind of like skeptical, don't want to move forward in that. And then you lose your what? Love life and,
Exactly.
being able
Exactly.
to have something good with someone because of the past trauma that you have experienced.
Exactly, Pamela. And I would love it. I think this should be mandatory that everybody every year should do a quantum healing just to check in and make sure that they're not blocking their own joy, their own potential, their own love life, just like you said. So I'm very thrilled when somebody is ready to do a quantum healing. And I would say that not everybody is like, yeah, let's get on board with this. There has to be a place in time where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, is what
Right.
most people
Right.
get to. Like, okay, Natasha, I surrender, I'll do it. Bring it on, bring it on.
That is so true. You have talked about rise in consciousness. How does this affect our health?
So my thing is, we have AI now, artificial intelligence. I
Right.
promote II, which is intuitive intelligence. And I feel like the intuition by recognizing and listening and trusting our highest intelligence, and to me, it's higher than AI actually, because it's coming from a divine source. If we're paying attention to that, and listening to that inner voice, we're going to be guided to what is for our highest good, including our joy. When we're in joy, we support our immune system. We're not weighing it down with negative thinking, cloudy anger, resentment, unforgiveness, all that stuff. That really clogs up the pipes. Unresolved grief, I think, is a major cause of cancer. Unforgiveness, resentment, the same thing. And or heart disease. And as you know, Pamela, so many people are just falling like flies right now from all these diseases.
Oh my God, yes.
Right? Isn't it? It's like a pandemic in itself. So
That's
I
scary.
would love to, ideally in the future, I would see you walk into a doctor's office, but there's an intuitive sitting over there, there's a naturopath sitting over there, there's a doctor
Yes.
sitting over there, and then, there's a happiness coach on this side. And
Okay.
the full holistic treatment, because everybody has something to offer. And depending on what people are ready to accept and embrace, it's a decision we make. Even life and death, I know people that have had cancer, and we've got this going on in our family right now. And making the decision to live is the first step. Because once you make that decision and you commit to that, the universe will support you in that and bring you the people and information and support you need to make it to back to health.
I absolutely agree. I have gone through some trauma and I am such an empath and I love hard. So when I went through this adversity, it really damaged me, even though if you would have seen me or knowing how I move around, you never would have noticed it. But inside, it was tearing me apart. And I didn't realize I was holding on to resentment and hate. I have to be honest, it was hate, real life hate, because I really didn't understand what I was really being a victim of, or
Exactly.
why was I victimized?
Yes.
And then after a while from acceptance, because I am spiritual as well. And I do believe that when you know that you're a good person and you can, help others, You cannot allow what's on the outside bring the toxicity into you, because that means that it's going to stop you from moving forward. So what I used to do is, when I go into my, what we call my private room, and I talk to myself and I say, look, universe, I have to move forward. Please help me to ABC and
Yes.
remove that. And I start doing that. And besides, I'm a prayer, and I move forward. And I'm like, I am all of that and a bunch of potato chips. I am one of God's jewels. And I believe that. And that is what I advocate. And that's what I advocate to my girls. That is who we are. And so when they come with trauma, this is what is good right now, is having this meeting. And so I can take this, what me and you are sharing, and what you're sharing with me, to them, so maybe we can utilize your services, because there are a lot of
Absolutely.
people whom need you, just like they need me, regardless if you don't think so or not.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, Pamela, because what I love to, and I tell this to my clients before every session, that, in the palms, actually, the left hand is a printout of like a movie script that while you were still in spirit, before you came down into the physical, you agreed to do. And I wouldn't say chose it. Sorry, I wouldn't say chose it, but we evolve at our own pace. And it's like going to watch a movie. If you don't want to watch a horror movie, you won't go there. If you want to watch a rom-com, that's where you'll go. Equally, we kind of agree to do a movie, but we're the star of the movie, and that's written on the left. That is just potential, just
Right.
potential. In the right is what you're choosing to do with it now you're here. And I'm very sad to say, but so many people do not embrace their potential. Even I tell them, oh, you're going to be on TV, or are you going to win a million, or are you going to go and live in Tuktoyaktuk? And they look at me like, I don't think so, Natasha. I think you're nice, but you're out to lunch. And then they call me back 2 years later and say, oh, guess what? Guess where I am? But it's taken them that time to kind of go, okay, yes, I can have this. And I like to let everybody know you're the creator of your life. You really are. You're the movie producer, the writer, the director. What goes on inside you is going to manifest on the outside. It's you pushed outwards, as Neville Goddard would say. So what you just said about doing the forgiveness and realizing the resentment and the hate, and then people will say, oh, well, this terrible thing happened to me. And I'll say, well, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. What were you feeling or thinking before that happened? Because you're a magnet for that. That's just the world expressing you back to you. And oh no, I didn't do that. I was having a happy day. And it's like, yeah, well, maybe not so much, because the energy does not lie. It does not lie. And I do the same thing for myself. Like, what was I thinking? Literally. And I check in with myself a lot to say, okay, what do I want to manifest here? And what do I need to feel in order to manifest that? And maybe what do I need to let go of that's an old negative thought that could get in the way, like a fly in the ointment kind of thing. So it's really important. If I'd known that at 17, that I was the creator of my own life, oh my gosh, I would have been so much further ahead, right?
So true. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Do you have stories of people who have done this with you? The quantum healing?
The quantum healing, absolutely.
Okay.
It's kind of funny because normally my clients come back to me for more, but when I do the quantum healing, it's done. They're good to go,
Oh, they're good to go.
and they're on the way. But I have a story. Well, there was a lady who was completely agoraphobic. And I don't even know how she got to my office. It wasn't a very long drive, but she was really, really traumatized. And we did this session, and people, when they walk out after this session, they look like they're high on drugs or something. They're very dreamy. And her sister came with her and took her home, and I went, "That's good, you're driving. That's good." And she called me the next day, and she said, "Oh, Natasha, it's just like, it's a new day. It's like, I'm good to go." It was just instant. Another time I had a lady who, this is more like a past life regression, but I almost want to call the past life regressions quantum healings as well because they're just instant. And she sat down in front of me. She was an older lady, and I saw this arrow sticking out of her hip. So I said, do you have any pain in your right hip? She said, oh, yes. And I said, how long have you had it? And she said, oh, as long as I can remember. And I said, yes, you came in with that. This is from a past life. And I said, if you'd like, we can do a past life regression and we can take that arrow out. She said, oh, that would be so awesome. She said, I can't go out with my husband hiking. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's always been literally such a pain. So that Sunday, she came in. It was actually, I was working out of a bookstore somewhere else. And we did the past life regression. And it turned out that in a past life, she'd been indigenous male. And she was very angry with her tribe because they had not made him her chief. There was some kind of upset. So he had decided to get another band or tribe, as they were called in those days, to ambush his own tribe. And so they did. And she told me, so I'm asking, where are you now? Are you male or female? What's going on with you? So she told me the story of riding in with this other band. And of course, a lot of people were injured and killed. And he got an arrow in the hip. And I said, okay, we're going to take the arrow out of the hip. We're going to invite everybody in that clearing that died that day, all the souls that you hurt, and we're going to sit in a circle. We're going to turn this arrow into a peace pipe and pass it round. And everybody's going to have the opportunity to forgive you, to be forgiven, to go in peace. This is now done. And so we did that. We were both bawling. I was crying my eyes out. It was so emotional because I, when I do this, I'm in that place with my client. It's quite bizarre because I can see things along with them. It's like I'm watching their movie. And so we did that. And then suddenly she popped her eyes open. She said, okay, I'm good. Good now. I'm like, whoa, okay. And 2 days later, her friend called me. She said, I don't know what you did to my girlfriend, but she's kind of jumping up and down and she's hiking with her husband. And it's just like completely healed. Because if you think about this, Pamela, it's just a thought that we think that gets in the way of our joy. It's just one thought. And her thought was, I'm guilty of betraying my tribe. And once she was forgiven and she'd forgiven herself, that's the big thing, is we need to forgive ourselves and say, hey, you know, it was just an event. It was just a learning for me not to do that to people, right? It was just a lesson. And once we acknowledge that, okay, I've got the lesson now. Thank you very much. We're all good. You know, you wouldn't watch a movie and see, you know, the criminal doing that and never forgive him in the movie. You forget about the movie and you go to bed and you go, well, that was a good movie, right? Like you wouldn't carry it with you. But for some reason, we carry this negativity and it doesn't need to be that, it just needs to be reframed. So I say to people, write down what the negativity is, because that's your belief about you. And then write something you want to believe. So if you said, for example, okay, my sister told me I could not write, and now I've written five books and screenplays and God knows what. And people tell me I'm a great writer. So that was just a thought that I had. And I chose to think, I'm going to study writing until I become a great writer. And I have. There's still room for improvement. I'm still working on it. That'll be lifelong. But why not turn that around and get your power back by giving yourself the belief that will work for you, that will support you and get you what you want.
So true. I am also an award-winning author of my first book,
Good for you.
Journey of
Congratulations.
a Sapphire. And
Wow.
the book, my goal and focus is to inspire others whom are going through challenges or and obstacles, or who have gone through challenges and obstacles, and to journey on.
Yes.
And the book, I have to admit, would make you cry. would make is very inspiring, and it would show you the different times of on this journey where the accomplishments that I have attained, alongside with the hardships and the challenges, but I never had given up,
The
and
fear.
where I am right now. So I
Yes.
just started on my second book, which is called Destination of a Sapphire, or Journey of the Destination. I don't know. I got to get it together, but I'm working on that.
Welcome. Welcome.
Destination of a Sapphire.
Beautiful.
And so, and I'm proud of myself because the accomplishments and where I am right now, and by me never being, down on myself and never giving up, no
Good.
matter what came at me. And I have had some experiences, but that's another time for me and you to have some tea.
Okay.
But I do appreciate the input because it's much needed even for myself. And I know I need to do a quantum healer. I've been sought after, and that is what I am so inspired by you to ask, is that necessary? And you did answer that question. So I do want to get that done.
Okay, good.
My next question to you is, can we heal our own bodies just with our minds? How does that work?
Absolutely. So I'm sure you've heard of Joe Dispenza. He's a neurologist and he's really, really good at explaining it. But I come at it from a place, and same thing as him, but he comes at it from a more specific modality, if you like. And I talk to especially people I know that are sick. We're all energy, and energy moves in vibrations and frequencies. And there is a frequency of health, and there's a frequency of sickness. And when you go to the paint store, Pamela, and you get those strips, and it gives you all the different shades of the
Yes.
color. So you start out, say, you want white at the top and there's black at the bottom. So frequencies are like that. And the deepest, darkest shades are the lowest frequencies. So depression, anger, anything to do with fear, resentment, unforgiveness. So they're the lower frequencies. And when people are sick, they've often been in that frequency for a long time, and the immune system has just gotten tired of trying to fight it. And it's like, okay, well, if you want to be in this frequency, I quit. I'm going to let you get sick. And
Right.
so getting well again is about getting up into the higher frequency. So you start with relief, maybe, or you start with forgiveness, and you start with compassion, and then you can move into excitement and joy and
Right.
peace.
Yes.
I know it's very hard when you're sick and you're in pain, and the doctors are telling you, oh, you're going to be dead in 6 months, to think, oh yeah, I can heal myself. That's very, very challenging for a lot of people, but so many people have done it, so it's absolutely possible. And I really liked Anita Morjani's book, Dying to Be Me, because she was at that place. They were just about to pull the plug on her in the hospital. And she said her spirit left her body, and she had a little chat with herself, like, I don't need to be doing this. This cancer is not me. It's my kind of thinking. And so she decided to live, got back in her body, and said, things have to change. And she went on this big spiritual journey, and she's still traveling the world today, as far as I know, giving talks about doing that. So what happens, according to Joe Dispenza, is that, we change literally our brains when we get into the higher frequency. Our brains operate differently, and the brains send messages to all different parts of the body. And we awaken the light within the body when we're in the higher frequency. When we're happy, we're not putting that stress on the body. I told a member of my family, she had a very dire diagnosis. And I asked her, do you want to live or do you want to die? And she said, there's no way I've got to live. And I said, okay, good, we can work with you. So I'm working with her and several other people doing hypnosis, energy work, forgiveness. I said, you've got to get happy and feel the joy and start
Yes.
with gratitude. Gratitude is number one when you want to come back from that place, because actually, when we feel happy, I think when I'm happy, it's like I'm having this moment of gratitude. I'm going, wow, what a beautiful world I live in. Or I'm so grateful for my husband or for you, Pamela. You know, there's some really fabulous, wonderful people in this world, awakening and lifting up people. And you can go to the dark side if you want. Bye, see you later. But I'm staying on the light.
Yes.
Have fun over there, you know.
Right? See ya.
But yeah, and I'm, you know, no spring chicken, but I think I've stayed healthy because I'm always in that place of I'm healthy and I'm grateful and I feel young and I feel I've got so much work to do here on the planet and I've got to stay in this place where I stay strong. So I think having a purpose, being in gratitude, being aware of your feelings, like you said, I love what you said about thinking everything was good, but you know, you were actually carrying some hate and some resentment. You didn't know it. That's what is going to set up the illness if we're not aware of it. So illness is just the spirit's way of telling the body, speaking to us through our body, and saying, you're not very happy right now. What are you going to do? So if you can create sickness, you can create wellness.
I
So
do
it's
agree.
just backtracking, just backtracking.
Wow, I do agree.
Yeah, and love it. Laughter is very good.
Laughter really is your medicine,
It is.
because if you take the time, especially when we are sad or in a depressed state, I say turn to some comedy, put on some Cat Williams or and get you a good laugh, and to understand,
Exactly.
okay, this has happened to me, I'm over it, it's
Yes.
done, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to take that peace and that happy, because I tell the girls all the time, that is what makes you look old. That is what makes you and cause you to feel like, oh, I have all these ailments, my head hurt, and you just don't feel like doing anything, and you don't never want to get in that state of mind.
No. And you know, it's okay. Like when people are grieving, for example, I think it's very important to feel the grief, to go through it, not try and
Acknowledge it.
say, oh, I'm having a great day when you're really in a lot of pain. I think it's important to be authentic with your feelings.
Right.
But when I was writing a screenplay with a friend of mine, before we started writing, we'd always have a wine session, a whining session. And then we'd
Okay.
whine about everything that was negative in our lives. And then when we got rid of it was like, okay, now we can sit down and create. And so it's kind of like that. It's not a bad thing to just dump. I think journaling is a great idea because then you kind of can moan and groan and nobody's going to tell you to be quiet. You could just
Right.
write 5 pages if you want. And then you kind of empty out and then you get it out of your body is what I'm always saying to people. Go out into the woods and scream and make sure, you know, you don't scare the animals too much. But
Right.
do something that, yes, you're allowed to feel the pain. Absolutely, that's part of being human. But it's when it kind of sticks to you know, and goes on and on and on, that's when it's not healthy. And that's when it's going to affect your immune system and wear you down. That's when sickness can creep in. So I think a lot of people, I would say right now, Pamela, so many people are walking around with unresolved grief, where they've lost a dog when they were 4, or their parents split up, or they lost a job, or a lifestyle, or a spouse, and they didn't grieve properly. And that pain is kind of stuck in them like a ball. I see it a lot in my when I'm working with the energy. It's like a ball of like a dark cloud. And it's kind of, we've got to get that out of the body. We've got to be with it, let it be there, talk about it, release it, and then then you can feel your frequency kind of rising up and being clean and clear. And that's what I'm always looking for, is not what's going on the physical body so much as what's going on in the emotional body, because the emotional body will manifest in the physical body if we don't take care of it and nip it in the bud right in the beginning.
How can we change our subconscious beliefs? Do we have the power to change the prognosis? The book that I read a little bit, the Og book.
Yes.
Is that right?
I think I'm
I
psychic,
think I am psychic. Chapter four,
Okay.
the six levels of conscious.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that. That was the most inspiring, I'm sorry, interesting part of the book because it's all about the
Pamela, you are a woman after my own heart. To me, that's the real gem. It's a real gem because
Yes.
I was not trained in this. I have just been channeling all this information, and people are always blown away. And I say, well, it comes through me, not from me. And this sixth level of consciousness, this is what I experience when I read somebody. So it's like I've drawn it in the shape of a pyramid in the book, because starting at the lower level, which is the broadest and the biggest, is our soul. We always have a soul, no matter how many lifetimes we experience. And with each lifetime, we come down here, we have this, we have our movie, and we learn our lessons, and we
Right.
express our soul purpose, and then we take that all that information back to the soul. So it's, you might want to call it, some people call it an oversoul or the master soul, but the soul is always there, that we never lose us, right? So the soul, when I'm reading it, it tells me where you are at in your spiritual journey, in your soul evolution, what your purpose is for this lifetime. It might be just simply to love yourself. That's the generic one.
Okay.
To acknowledge, like you said, I am a child of God, or a spark of the divine, however you want to frame it according to your belief system. But you know, you're part of a much, much greater universe, which is, and we're all fantastically beautiful, amazing. Humans
Absolutely.
blow me away. We're just fantastic. Then on the next level, going upwards, so it's a little narrower, is the spirit. So your spirit, as far as I'm concerned, is you, Pamela, for this lifetime. Back 500 years, you might have been Eric the Red, or you know, Catherine the Great, or whoever.
Right.
Or just a peasant in Russia, you know, whatever you chose to experience. And but this time is each spirit has challenges and it has gifts. So a lot of us know what our challenges are, but we don't really acknowledge our gifts. And I was really bad at this. People would say, "Oh, Natasha, you're so good at that." And I go, "Oh no, I can't do that." Right? I was being super modest, but now I realize, wouldn't it have been a crime if I hadn't pursued my writing and shared my knowledge and shared my laughter and my tears and everything with and my metaphysical knowledge with everybody else, because it's helped so many people. And that's what that was for. So just remember, when you're looking at your gifts, and if five people tell you, you know, you're really good at this, listen, because that is meant to be something that is expressed in this lifetime in some way, shape, or form. Then we've got the subconscious, and the subconscious, as we know, Pamela, is massively powerful. It's like a computer. It just absorbs information. It doesn't judge whether it's good, bad, indifferent. So whatever thoughts you repeatedly think become beliefs. They're like set in cement, you might want to say, in the subconscious. When those thoughts become a belief, that belief will drive your life. You'll see everything through that belief. So I used to have a girlfriend that said, "Oh, all men are bad." And I go, "Hang on a second. Wait, 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 wait." I said, "No, all men aren't bad.
No.
Some are bad some of the time. Some women are bad some of the time.
Cool.
But you know, you've got to, I don't want to be around you, and I don't want to hear that because it's not the truth." Anyway, I kind of gave a what for, because I don't want to keep hearing that either, because you
Right.
keep hearing something, it's going to go in. And she thanked me afterwards. She thanked me afterwards because it really changed her life in terms of her belief. So, yes, we can change the subconscious belief. So, what I suggest to people is they take working backwards from the pattern. So, say you don't have enough money in your life. Okay, what's the core belief about that? Well, I'm not good enough to have be wealthy, or all rich people are bad, or only you have to work so hard to get money. So you take that belief and you write the opposite, or the belief that you want to believe. Like, I choose to believe that money is energy and it's floating all around, and I'm a big magnet for it. So it just comes to me all the time whenever I need it, right? And the more money I have, the more good I can do with it. So, for example, just as an example, so yes, you can change the subconscious belief and then change your outcome. Above that, you've got the alpha state. And this is the state I go into when I'm doing reading. So it's between the subconscious and the conscious. It's kind of that state when you're maybe gardening or driving, which is kind of scary, watching TV, it's, I call it the in-between. And I'm sure you're very familiar with that, Pamela, where you're just relaxed. You could be painting. You're conscious, but you're kind of semi-meditative as well. And that alpha state is really good because when you're in that place, you can actually really put some thoughts into that alpha state. Like when you wake up in the morning and before you go to sleep at night, you're in that alpha state. That's when you can reprogram the subconscious especially well. So be very aware as you go to sleep at night. I like to think, thank you for such a wonderful day, and tomorrow's going to be even better. Or I can't wait for all this big money to show up for me. Or I can't wait to feel like I'm 25 again. So getting into the excitement, get into a good frequency just before you go to sleep. Then you're going into your subconscious, and you've fed your subconscious with a new thought and belief. So that's really powerful. Then above that, we've got the conscious mind. And this is the ego conscious waking state. So that's the state we're in now, Pamela. And I like to call this the pea brain because it's so small. It's like at the top of the pyramid. It's like so tiny and so tiny compared to the other states. But we think that's our reality, in quotes. That's what we think. And it's the only level of mind that actually experiences fear and separation. When we get into a funk and we think nobody loves us, that's the ego talking. That's not the truth. So we've got to be very aware of when we're in a state of fear, is this real or did I make this up? And I know people that make bad stuff up all the time. They always go to the dark place. If somebody doesn't call them like 5 minutes after they've texted them and said, well, they haven't got back to me yet. I go, well, do you think they might be busy?
At least, right.
And then above that, we've got the higher consciousness. And the higher consciousness is, for me, the intuition. It's the connection to the divine, to source. That's where I get my information a lot of the time. And I so trust it because it always comes from a place of absolute love and high intelligence. And often people think I'm crazy, and I say, I don't know how this is working, but that's what they're showing me. And I trust it. And I've learned over these many years that it's actually impeccable. I mean, they'll show me something sometimes I don't understand for other clients, and sometimes I can't interpret. But if I give it 20 years, it becomes obvious what that intention was with that information. So we've all got this ability to receive information from the divine, to be intuitive, if not psychic, to be channelers. I think we all channel in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know if you experience channeling when you're writing your book, do you, Pamela? Yes.
A little bit, yes, I
Yes.
do.
Yeah, because I know you're writing, it sounds like you've written from your experience, but I've had passages that, especially when I was teaching, so my first book, the I Think I'm Psychic one, I've told my disaster stories of growing up, but I've used each story as a way to demonstrate the lesson in the metaphysical endnote because I wanted people to understand the mind and what the mind's capable of, and how we can all choose to just change our mind if we want more, better, healthier, happier lives.
Right.
People have said they just love that because it's not this big instruction teaching book. It's just a story, a little lesson, a story, a little lesson. And people
Absolutely.
say to me, I laughed and I cried, Natasha. And one person said, I'm suddenly psychic. And I went, well, that's good.
Yeah. Like we need more, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, the six levels of consciousness to me, if we all understand how that works, and what will happen, and this is funny, people will come to me and I'll say, and I said to this one woman, oh, you're going to be pregnant next year? And she said, well, that would be a miracle because I've had my tubes tied. And I said, well, I don't care what's been snipped or tied, you're going to have a baby boy and he's going to be very special. So that's her ego
Really?
mind, right? But I'm reading the soul and the subconscious, and I know what's coming down the pipe. A year later, this very pregnant woman waddles into the office, and I said, have we met before? She said, yeah, don't you remember the 45-minute argument we had last year about me not having a baby?
Oh my God.
I know.
Yes. Wow.
Exactly.
That is
So
amazing.
sometimes the conscious and the subconscious will be in battle with each other. So that's okay. I just trust, and I say, I have to tell you what I see, and if it doesn't come true, in 20 years, I'll give you your money back after 20 years, but give it time.
Right? I am inspired by your passion, Natasha, and I absolutely am proud that you are determined to bring awareness about such a sensitive subject. Because a lot of people get like, oh no, they tend to think negatively about it. But it's something that we do need, the world needs to know. So thank you so much for educating us today and educating me, because now that just brought more enlightenment to my path.
Thank you. Thank you, Pamela.
You're so welcome.
It's always a great pleasure.
Yes. So Natasha, during my research pertaining to the book, you talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly psychics. And I thought that was very interesting. In your opinion, how can someone find a good psychic?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have, the master's certificate on the wall, like, in a doctor's office. I always suggest, and I think I mentioned it in the book too, go to somebody that maybe a referral, somebody who's been and had an experience. And, I'm not a person, I'm very, very gentle with the information. I always speak the truth. If I see something negative, I ask my guides how to communicate that so it lands in a way that it's constructive, it's not destructive. But there are some people who just like the blunt delivery and say, just give sock it to me. And there are plenty of psychics out there who do that without too much sensitivity or empathy. But I'd say to anybody, when you go to a psychic, just give them your criteria before you sit down. I've got friends who are psychics, of course, and I say, I'm not in the mood for any bad news, so just give me the good stuff. Although I rarely go to psychics these days because I want to create my own, I'm creating my own manifestation. So that's where I'm at. But I'll check in every now and then if it's about somebody else. I say, what do you get about this person? So there are different psychics, different styles, different levels of accuracy. Some are brutal and they're good. Some are terrible and they're very nice people. And for me, though, when a client comes, it's always about doing some healing work. So it's not about being right about the predictions. It's not about that. It's about how can I see this person and lift them up a frequency or two. When they come in, and how can they leave in a higher frequency? They can take something away that they can use, that they've learned, that they can implement into their lives. So I'm a bit of a coach when I do psychic readings, because I'll see the cause, I'll see the way to resolve what's going on, and I'll identify something that's really lovely and gorgeous that maybe they're just not seeing, and so they'll walk
Wow.
out feeling empowered. So that's my
Okay.
goal, always to empower.
Okay. We have you're going to have to come back because I have a lot more questions, but I'm headed up for time. So just tell us real quick how someone can reach out to you regarding your services.
The simplest way is through my website, Pamela, Natasha at Natasha, sorry, natasharosewood.com. And my email is Natasha at natasharosewood.com. But all the information is on my website, including the books.
Great, great. You heard it. Contact Natasha Rosewood. Well, readers, I have reached my destination. As always, I leave you with this quote. Today's discussion serves as a reminder that no one faces hardship alone. They have the power to uplift spirits, instill resilience, and help pave the way toward recovery and healing. With that being said, do have a beautiful day. And until next time, God bless.
God
Cheers.
bless everybody. Thank you, Pamela.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.